Romans chapter 13. We'll start at verse 7. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Father, I thank you this morning that you have brought us together in God's house. Pray that you'd help us, that we would hear from the Lord this morning and our lives would be changed. We pray that most of all, we'd see the glory of God in the house of God. We'd be awed by the Lord. Our hearts would be humbled before him. And Father, we'd allow you to work in us, and we'd give you the glory that's due unto your name. We realize that if there's any good about us, it comes from you. You share with us your holiness. You give to us your righteousness. And Lord, we thank you that Jesus took our sins in his own body on the cross of Calvary, became sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Lord, if there's a soul among us that hasn't yet traded their sins for salvation, may this be the day, Lord, that they come to Jesus and be saved. We give you the glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I would like to preach to you for a few minutes this morning on the debt of love. Owe no man anything but to love one another. You know that bad news is mostly what we hear in the media. Good news doesn't sell. Bad news does. So we hear mostly bad news in the world from the media. And the bad news is not generally the result of natural disasters, that which arises from the forces of nature, but most of the time it is trouble that results from the inability of men to treat one another as they'd like to be treated. That's where the bad news generally comes from, because we do not treat one another like we'd like to be treated. So that in the world is full of religious hatred, people who are religious hating one another. Muslims hate Christians, and Christians hate Muslims, and Hindus hate Christians, and Christians hate Hindus, and Muslims hate Hindus, and so on and so forth. And some Christians hate other Christians, and, you know, it just goes on and on and on. It's a story of hatred. Bad news. And there's political struggles. You know, I'm Republican and you're Democrat, and so we can't stand one another. And it's our duty to fuss and quarrel and fight over everything. And then there's ethnic hatred between different racial groups. Blacks hate whites, and whites hate blacks, and blacks hate Asians, and Asians hate blacks, and on the story goes. And there's bad news that arises from this lack of love for one another. But everybody, all men, live under God's command to love thy neighbor as thyself. No exceptions. Love thy neighbor as thyself. So we're to love all races, all nations, all people. It's a debt we owe to our fellow man. We're to love our fellow man. You may fulfill other debts in life. You may fulfill other debts in life. Relieve yourself of those debts, but not this one. This is a continuing debt all of your life that you owe to your fellow man to love him. Paul spoke about being a debtor in Romans chapter 1, verse 14. I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. This is our debt to love all men, the wise and the unwise, the Greeks and the barbarians. The Bible tells us that love fulfills the law of God. My text tells us in verse 10 that love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. James chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 says, if you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. But if you have respect to persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. So this is the fulfilling of the law, that we love our neighbor as ourselves. How are we supposed to love? Well, the Bible gives us an example of real love in the love that God has shown to us. It's exemplified in the love of God toward us. And really, you cannot understand what real love is until you see what God's love is like. And the Bible tells us in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Who does that include? Everybody that's ever lived or ever will live. God so loved the world. It was a love that embraced the world. Men of all nations, men of all creeds, men of all kinds in the world. God loved the world. You know, I remember when God saved my soul. 13 years old, one of the first things I was conscious of was this deep love of God in my heart for everybody. There was a love in my heart for everybody in the world when I got up out of that altar. You know why? It was God's love put in me. God so loved the world. It involved all men. The Bible says that God will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. God so loved that He gave His only begotten Son, so that the love of God involves sacrifice. He gave of Himself. He gave His Son to die for us. You know, like the rich man at the treasury that Jesus was watching, we often give out of our abundance, but there's no sacrifice involved. But when you really love, there's a sacrifice involved in real love. God loved us and sacrificed for us. And if there is real love in your heart, love involves sacrifice. A willingness to give of yourself. Brother Mike told us this morning about the man that was getting married and told his wife or wife-to-be, said, if you love me half as good as I love myself, we'll get along just fine. And a lot of people, that's the way they live their life. That's the reason why there's so many divorces too. But I'm telling you, when you love with the love of God, and there's a sacrifice involved in your love, and you're willing to give of yourself, and you're willing to sacrifice for that person that you love, I'm telling you, it makes a difference when you love with the love of God. The love of God involves positive good, doing positive good. The Bible tells us in Acts 14 and 17, He left not Himself without witness in that He did good, that's God, gave us rain from heaven, fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. You know, you look around the world and a lot of times we focus on the bad things that are going on in the world. And I read the scripture that says that the earth is full of the glory of God. And I wondered, how can that be? How can it be that the earth is full of the glory of God when there's so many bad things going on in the world? But this is the focus of Satan. But you understand that God is good to all men. He's good to the unthankful. He's good to the evil. He causes the sun to rise on the just and the unjust. He makes it rain on the evil and the good. God is good, and the earth is full of the glory of God. The Bible says in Matthew 5:43-45, ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Now get this. That you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Before you get saved, you resemble your father, the devil. The works of your father you will do. But when you get saved, you begin to resemble your father, God. And the Bible says that you will be the children of your father when you love even your enemies. You pray for them that despitefully use you. You bless them that curse you. You do good to them that hate you. This is not normal. This is not the natural thing to do. This is the supernatural thing to do. It's to love your enemies and do good to them. Love is commanded to us by the Word of God. The law commanded us, love thy neighbor as thyself. You remember Jesus saying to the lawyer one day, the lawyer come to Jesus and said, what's the greatest teaching in the law, the greatest commandment? The Lord said, what do you read in the law? And he said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and love thy neighbor as thyself. The Lord said, you've answered right. The law said, love thy neighbor as thyself. Jesus also taught us to love our neighbor as ourselves. And the epistles of the New Testament teach us to love our neighbor as ourselves. And that love is manifested in the service that we render. Not only does love not work any ill toward our neighbor, as my text says, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. So you don't deliberately do anything to hurt your neighbor. Are y'all listening to me now? We're going somewhere. Y'all going with me? Love does not deliberately work any ill toward his neighbor. You know, so love causes children to honor their parents. Love, talking about loving your neighbor now, your first neighbor's your parents. Honor your parents. Love will cause you to respect the covenant between your neighbor and his wife so that you do not commit adultery. Love causes you to respect the property of your neighbor so you do not steal. Love causes you to respect the health and the life of your neighbor so you do not kill. And love causes you to respect the reputation of your neighbor so you bear no false witness against your neighbor. And love causes you to be content so you do not covet that which is your neighbor's. Y'all listening to me? Talking about the love of God. It begins in our home with the honor that we give to our parents. It works no ill to our neighbor. It takes advantage of opportunities to do good. You remember the Good Samaritan? You remember the religious leaders that walked by this man in the ditch? He's desperate. He's dying. He's wounded. The religious leaders walk by on the other side. They may say, God bless you, and move on. But there's a Samaritan, an outcast, that comes along and sees this man in the ditch and stops and binds up his wounds and puts him on his donkey, takes him to the inn, puts him in charge of the innkeeper and says, take care of him. I'll pay for it. I'll come back and check on him. Jesus said, who was it that loved his neighbor? Who was it that was a neighbor to him? And of course, it was the Good Samaritan. So our love is manifested in the deeds, the service that we render. We owe this love in particular to the household of faith. Listen to this. Galatians 6 and 10 says, as we have therefore opportunity, and opportunities will come. They will come to you. They come to me. As you have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. 1 John 3:17 says, but whoso hath this world's goods, seeth his brother have need, shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? You know, there's coming a judgment day. And on that judgment day, when the nations are called before the king, he begins to separate the sheep and the goats. The goats go to his left hand, the sheep to his right hand. And he says to those goats on his left hand, I was hungry. You didn't feed me. I was thirsty. You didn't give me any water. I was sick and in prison, and you visited me not. And they said, Lord, when did we see you like that? And he said, inasmuch as you did it not unto what the least of these, my brethren, you did it not unto me. As you have opportunity, as the opportunity arises, somebody's in the ditch on your path. Somebody's in need in your life. Somebody that God puts in your way that needs your help. This is the love of God manifested in the service that we render. We're to bless God. We're to bless our fellow man. We're to worship God and love Him and love our fellow man. And we're not to be of those that bless God and curse our fellow man. Brother, this is the love of God, that we treat others the way we want them to treat us. It ought to grieve us to find it necessary, and sometimes it may be necessary, but it ought to grieve us to find it necessary to mention the fault of a brother or a sister, to even bring that up in conversation. Some people seem to find delight in bringing up the faults of brothers, sisters. It ought to grieve us to even have to bring it up if it be necessary. For the Bible tells us that love covers a multitude of sins. It's not that love excuses sin. And sin should not be excused, and sin should not be covered up, and sin should not be, you know, overlooked. It ought to be dealt with. But even then, the love of God does not delight in the sins of others or in spreading the news about the sins of others. And you know, it ought to be in us that there is the love of God in us. Listen to me now. There's the love of God in us that when others are running down, brothers and sisters in Christ, that we feel a need to defend our brothers and sisters in Christ. And when others are bringing up their faults, we bring up their strengths When others are pointing out, hey, this is where they failed, we say, but this is a good thing about them. And you know, a person's fault is not the whole story about that person. And there are good things. Now, I remember a man down our way. He was the kind of fellow, he didn't say nothing bad about anybody. And some wicked man died, and everybody's telling about his wickedness, and he was wicked. But this fellow said, well, he could whistle good. If nothing else, he could whistle good. You know, God wants to make us perfect in love. Because if you do not love your brother whom you have seen, how can you love God whom you have not seen? And we can have this kind of love in us. Love is provided for us through the Spirit of God. Everybody that gets saved gets a dose of the love of God. For the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And if everybody stayed with that love that God put in their heart when He saved them, you talk about doing away with a lot of problems. It'd do away with a lot of problems. Not only would it cause us to be careful about what we say about our brother or sister, it would cause us to be careful how we behave toward our brother and our sister. It would cause us to want to live without offense toward God and toward our fellow man. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. The Bible tells us in Galatians 5:22 that the fruit of the Spirit is love. And the Bible says in 1 John 4:7-8, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Now listen to this. If the love of God has grown cold in our hearts, and it's very possible for us to depart from that first love that God gave us, and if we no longer feel that love in our hearts that we once felt for our brothers and sisters in Christ, and we no longer feel the love in our heart that we once had for God so that we walk very carefully before God lest we offend the Lord, and we walk very carefully toward our fellow man lest we offend our fellow man, if we lack that kind of love, the Bible commands us, go back and get it. Hallelujah. He said to Ephesian church, he said, I got something against you because you have left your first love. He said, I want you to repent. Go back and do the first works. Get a hold of that first love again. Hallelujah. You can do it. Jesus will give it to you. When there is a problem in a home, and the love is cooled off between a man and his wife, and they no longer love to be together like they once were, and they no longer try to please one another like they once did, and the love of God, and the love for one another has grown cold and stale in their hearts, if that love is not rekindled, that divide will go greater and greater in their home. Problems will result from that. That love has got to be rekindled in those hearts. And it's that way about our relationship with God. The love of God has got to be rekindled in our hearts until it's burning in our soul again. And again, we are acting in a way that demonstrates that the love of God is in control and governing our lives. The Bible tells us in the last days, and are we not in the last days? It tells us that the love of many would wax cold. And oh, brother and sister, the Lord has blessed us in this church, blessed us with brothers and sisters in Christ. We ought to value one another. We ought to thank God for one another. We ought to love one another. as the Bible says, let brotherly love continue. Don't ever let it stop. Cultivate it. Work on it. Pray for God to renew it in our hearts and in our lives. Everybody can see that our life is governed by the love of God. Hallelujah. Somebody needs you to love them. Somebody in this church needs you to love them. Somebody in this house needs you to demonstrate the love of God to them. I remember reading a story about a couple that had grown apart, talking about divorcing. They decided to take a trip and see if they might could get things, you know, patched up. Took the trip to California. Seemed like nothing helped. Strife, division, hard feelings, growing cold toward one another, further and further apart. On the way home, they decided to stop by his old home place. And they went into the old home place. Nobody lived there now. It's overgrown. But they walked in and he began to talk to his wife, reminisce. And he was, his parents had split up and he was raised by his grandparents. He began to tell her about the old well, about the kind of hard work he had to do, how his kinfolks traded him around, sent him from house to house. Whoever needed the worker, he is the one they sent to do the work. Never had a place to hang his hat. One aunt told an uncle, said, you can have him. Said, I need the calf. You can have him. He can work on the farm. Traded him for a calf. Just pushed from one place to another. Nowhere to call home. Nowhere to hang his hat. And his wife suddenly realized why he was like he was, and began to understand some things about him. This little boy that never had a place to call home. Traded for a calf. Nobody to love him. You know, it makes a difference sometimes when we understand from where they're coming. And there's somebody in this place that needs you to demonstrate the love of God. Somebody in your home, somebody in your community, somebody in your neighborhood that needs somebody to show them the love of God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.